to faith, and that's always good. So let's just pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to share your word, and thank you for what you are doing, Lord. You did then, and what you're doing now. And we want to open our hearts and our minds, Lord Jesus, and allow you to come in. So come, Holy Spirit, and have your way. Help us to hear what you want and to do what you ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I have a question for you. What excites you about your faith? What excites you about your faith? Maybe just have a little chat with the person next to you. Or if you're somebody that's still journeying on that faith journey, you know, you haven't quite got there yet, what questions are rising with you? What things bring you excitement? Is it a memory of when you came to faith or somebody you prayed for? Do you want to have a little chat with the person next to you? Maybe you can think of something. Maybe your mind's gone blank and maybe you're not in that place. You just don't feel very excited at all at the moment. Maybe life's a challenge. Yeah. Well, I'm going to draw you back because I know it started something off there. Yeah, oh, I've really started something now. Lots of people are starting to remember things and things are coming to mind. Maybe someone got healed and you've been praying for, or someone came to faith. Yeah. Oh, it's lovely, isn't it, to get stirred up with those memories and those things that have happened to us and the things that we've been involved in, and God has used us, or God is still stirring up in us. Or maybe you're on that journey of coming to faith and you're just discovering and it's all new to you. Well, today we're going to be thinking about what God has done through the use of John and Peter, and how a situation has occurred. God has moved, and an opportunity has arisen for Peter to speak about his faith, about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a bit of a pattern that's going on through the book of Acts. But before we get this, for some of you that maybe are new to the faith, it's good to know where we are in the scheme of things in the Bible. Because last week we were talking about the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus had died and he'd risen from the grave. So, and he'd appeared before all his disciples. He also appeared to 500 other people. And he appeared to Peter. And Peter, the main disciple, was reinstated. And you say, well, why was he reinstated? Well, actually, he had denied Jesus 3 times when Jesus was going to go to the cross. And he said, I'll never do that. And he did. And he denied. And so Jesus reinstates him by asking him, Simon Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And then he says to Peter again, a second time, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he says, tend my sheep. And the third time he says to Peter, because 3 times he's denied him, and Peter's holding all that shame and that guilt of denying Christ, that person that he loves and changed his life. And he says, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feels a bit hurt that he's asked him 3 times. And he says, well, feed my sheep. And Jesus is saying, Peter, 3 times I've said it to you, because I know that you're the man that's for the job. You're going to lead this church. You are the one that I've placed my trust and my hope in, that's going to do this job. Remember what he said, Jesus said to Peter, didn't he? He said, Peter, you are the rock. That's what his name meant, the rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it's true, isn't it? 2,000 and so many years later, this church is still here. Christ Church is here, and we're all here testifying to that power. So Jesus reinstates Peter, and then it goes on. Jesus stays with the disciples for another 40 days, preparing them for the time when they're going to start going out and telling people what Jesus has done on the cross. He's broken the power of death and hell over their lives and saved them. And then Jesus goes back to heaven, and before he goes back to heaven, he tells them to wait in Jerusalem for the gift of God. We sang about that, God's gift, and the Holy Spirit's going to come. And Holy Spirit does come, and he empowers them. He empowers Peter and the others. And the Holy Spirit comes, he empowers them. They have this fire on their heads. They go out into the streets speaking in different tongues. And there's loads of people in the city of Jerusalem who've never heard about Jesus, never heard anything about him, and they're all speaking, all the disciples, in their own language, and they get to hear about Jesus for the first time. And it says 3,000 people come to faith in that day, at that time. That's amazing. God moves, the opportunity arises to speak. And then we have this situation where Peter and John are going off to pray. If you look in your Bibles, if you've got them in front of you, it's Acts chapter 3. We're just going to look at the last few verses of Acts chapter 2, which says, what were the disciples doing? What were the followers of Jesus doing each day after they'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, it says they devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. That was their daily routine. They were having an amazing time. And so Peter and John, at the appointed time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's what they did. They went to the temple and prayed, and they were on their way, filled with the Holy Spirit, spending time in God's presence, reading his word, praying, waiting for opportunities to arise. And then this situation occurs. The beggar, who is crippled from birth, is being brought in to the gate before the temple to beg to have money to be able to survive. And as he comes, he's just going through his normal routine. He sees two people. He doesn't know it's Peter and John. Gonna go through the gate. And he says, have you got any money? Or spare any change, mate? And not looking up, he doesn't expect anything to happen necessarily, maybe a few coins to come his way. But Peter and John stop in their tracks and they look at him. And Peter says to him, look at us. And he gets his attention, and then he says, look, mate, I haven't got any gold and I've got no silver, but what I have got, which is even better, I'm going to give you. And I'm going to give you it today. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk straight out, he says, in faith, speaks it out, grabs the man and lets him get to his feet. Now, that man doesn't sit there and go, excuse me, mate, you know, have you not seen I'm crippled? You know, he goes with the flow. The power of God is working on him. All his doubts, all his feelings of, oh, no, I'm always going to be like this, is gone. He just goes with the moment. And suddenly, he's standing. And suddenly, he's dancing. And suddenly, he's moving. And he's walking this way. And he's walking that way. And he goes, I can even go backwards. And he's praising God. And he's probably saying to everybody in the crowd, come on, come and walk with me. We can walk. I can dance. He is so full of joy. And he's crying probably. And he's laughing because he cannot believe what has happened. God has totally transformed his life. And it's not just that he's healed him, that he's strengthened his feet and his ankles, it says, but that now he can take his place within society. He can have a job. He can have a life. The dreams that he had always had, he wish he could do this, wish he could do that, are now possible. Jesus does something amazing with him. And he is able to have a life, and it's a reality for him. Well, all the crowd that are around him suddenly realize, hang on a minute, that's that crippled guy. He's been crippled from birth. How can this happen? They are astonished. And then Peter gets the opportunity to explain to them what has happened, why he has healed him. He's giving him the opportunity. And Jesus speaks to the crowd. The crowd has got bigger and bigger because this amazing miracle has never been seen before. They're astonished. Some of them may have seen some of the miracles that Jesus has done, but this crowd don't seem to have seen any of that. They are just astonished. And it goes like wildfire round the crowd, telling people, and they're all coming in. And they crowd around Peter and John. And then Peter takes the opportunity to tell the people about Christ. But not only that he's telling them about Christ, he has to tell them the truth. And the truth is that they did not recognize this Messiah, because they're all Jews. They did not recognize this Messiah who'd been foretold, prophesied would come. What they did do was they killed him. They put him on a cross. And Peter has to tell them this. And it's hard for them to hear the truth, but he has to tell them the truth. And he says, you handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be released. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man has been healed. By faith and in his name, he has received complete healing. But he doesn't leave them feeling accused. He says, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is to fulfill what God said, that the Son of God would suffer much. So now you have the chance to repent and to turn away from your sin and come back to God. God moves and does something amazing. And people get the chance then to have all the details filled in. God gives Peter the words that will speak to this crowd that need to hear this is the Messiah. And it says, if you carry on reading into the next chapter, verse 4, it says, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. 5,000 came to faith. Now, I know that we probably aren't going to get that 5,000, but God is still moving through us, through the things that we are involved with. God wants to raise our expectation for him to do some amazing things. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could pray and ask God for something in Stoke Bishop, for God to do, for God to move and change, and that people in Stoke Bishop are astonished and wonder what on earth has happened, and that gives us the opportunity to say, well, actually, and we can share our faith and tell them about Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? Maybe that's something we could think of. I was in the Italian restaurant last night with Jerry, and the young son who helps serve in the place was saying, you know, how we were asking how the business is going, and they were saying, oh, it's quite difficult, you know, with the price of everything. And I just was thinking this morning, I was thinking, and it's only my idea, it's not anything, but I thought, what if as a church we sort of made a commitment or something, and we felt that that was what God was asking, and we all went and had a meal there as often as we could, and we could transform that situation for those people. You know, God can do so many things. All we need to do is have an imagination that says, Lord, what do you want to do? Do something, Lord. Peter stepped out in faith, and God moved, and a man was healed, and 5,000 people came to know Christ. Isn't that amazing? So let's get excited what God wants to do. Even with the people that are just individually in our lives, we can start changing the way that we address things, the way we pray for God to move. Let's be open for God to move in us, God to move in the people that we're praying for, the situations we're encountering, and for God to bring people to faith in Jesus. And also, just to finish with Peter, what a changed man, fisherman, rough as a diamond, always putting his foot in it. And look at him now, this incredible man who God knew could do this, is able to preach in such a way, he knows the scriptures, and people see the authority and see what God is doing, see what God can do with our lives. So this time now, as we look through this series of resurrection faith, let's be open for God to move in us in that resurrection power. Amen.